Welcome to the Family Matters series on Charisma News. I'm Marty Pieper, and I am always excited to introduce my guests, but I am especially excited to introduce this one. And this is true because not only is she an author and a journalist, but she's also my good friend who I've known for more years than either one of us would probably like to say. And on top of that, she's an amazing mother and a grandmother. And that last part really ties into what we're going to be talking about today, which is her brand new book, 365 Ways to Love Your Child. Welcome to the Family Matters Podcast, Julie Lavender. I'm so glad to have you here.
Thank you so much for that introduction. And I treasure every bit of that, and I treasure all of our fond memories that we've shared together.
Well, one of the things that's so cool for me to be able to interview you today is because I would say that in our friendship, we really connected over, for one thing, church, because you came to the church where my husband was a pastor in California, as I said, many years ago, but also our parenting, because during that season of our life, we were both homeschool moms, right?
That's exactly right.
And so one of the things I've always been fascinated with authors who are able to put their real life experience into what they write. And I think that's what helps us really connect. And your book, I would say, really is a lot of your real life experience. So why don't you just, your book is such a unique book, Julie. I think probably everyone wants to believe their book is unique. That's one of the first things I noticed about yours. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about it?
Well, I'm so excited to share about my book. It's something that God gave me. That there's 365 ways, and God gave me those over the course of lots of years because, like you said, these are some of the things that I had done with my children when they were little and as we were homeschooling. My husband was in the Navy for 20 years, and that's, of course, how you and I met. He was stationed out in California, and so it seemed like every two, three, sometimes four, but most of the time every two or three years, we were moving. So we tried to jump into a church really fast and tried to make friends fast, but there were still, we still had to depend on each other and have our own family unit. And I just wanted the children to feel that sense of belonging, that sense of love, that sense of connection. And but I also wanted them to feel the Heavenly Father's love expressed through us. And so it just, these are things that we did with our kids. And then, so just a couple of years ago, I thought, this will be fun to put into a book. So my book is called 365 Ways to Love Your Child, Turning Little Moments into Lasting Memories. And I just feel like a lot of times, sometimes we feel like we need to plan something big for our children so that they'll remember it and it will be special. And those are wonderful, too, because we've had some grand vacations like that and some events. But I think it's important to remember that it's sometimes the little things that our kids enjoy and remember the most. It's, those are some of the memories that they treasure. So each of these are just very short little blurbs that that suggest doing some little fun things with the kids, but being intentional about it. Like one of the places we lived when my husband was in the military, we had a long walk to the mailbox. And there were a couple times that I remember the first thing I did when the youngest one went down for a nap was to go to the mailbox. But then there were several days I just decided, oh, I'm going to take the kids with me. Well, one day we would hop to the mailbox. The next day we would jump to the mailbox. The next day we walked backwards. Some days we would walk zigzag. So we just made a big deal out of it. And some of that was when my husband was deployed, and they might be expecting a letter from a grandparent or from their dad or something like that. So
I
tried
to
turn that.
That was really important.
It was. It was very important back then. Snail mail. I might need to explain it to people. You know, we don't we don't have that as much anymore.
You're speaking of an actual mailbox.
I know that's exactly right. I'm realizing now I might be dating myself here, but so sometimes I feel like it's that. It's the little moments that that our kids might remember. One of my children, my youngest, remembers stick races, throwing sticks in streams, and we'd have to make sure all of our sticks were different so that when we tossed them in and we would walk really fast and run down to the other end, we would make sure we knew who the winner was and whose stick got there first.
Well, that's very important. Yeah.
So just little. Exactly. So the book is a collection of little ideas like that to make those intentional moments that are going to help a child feel loved and valued and kind of have a bond of a common language of shared experiences within the family.
Exactly. That's a great way to describe it, and I figured you would know better than anyone else. One of the things I thought of as I was first looking at it, Julie, is this is so perfect for parents or grandparents because you don't have to read it all at once. And we don't always have time to do that. And so it's I love it that I can just pick it up and read a few tips here or read a tip here, figure out, even turn to a particular section. Now, the way you have it divided up was interesting to me, too. Basically into settings or seasons or times when, like, I don't think I can remember them all, but when we're outside or when we're on a vacation, when we're playing together. So there are specific tips incorporated into those different settings. Is that a good way to describe it?
That is exactly right. And I'll tell you, I did that somewhat selfishly when I started writing it, because I came up with this and I wanted to have 365 ways. And when I started writing them, I realized that I was kind of either running into a wall, or I would come up with something and I would think, okay, wait, have I already done that? So to come up with the ideas for myself, I thought, oh, I'll come up with some sections. So the more I started jotting down my ideas, I found that they fell into these different kind of categories. And I don't have them memorized, but I do have my book in front of me. So the chapters are when we're outside, at home, in the kitchen, running errands, playing games, getting creative, reading and playing, serving others, celebrating the seasons, showing affection, sharing love notes, and vacationing. So then I turned it into that it wound up being 12, and I thought, okay, I'll just treat it like a calendar, put about 30 or 31 in each one. But that's exactly right. They're very short. Most of them are 1 to 2 or 3 sentences, and it was kind of my hope that, you know, you can even keep a car for that matter when you're waiting for maybe picking up a child at daycare or waiting for somebody to get out of dance or soccer or something. And I think it's my hope, too, that people will read the ideas, and yes, they'll love that idea and incorporate that in their family, but I hope it will spur a unique idea to that particular family that's a little bit related, but that'll just cause them to come up with something really personal for them, and they'll jump into that idea maybe when they get home. So
oh,
it is
I
something
that.
I think if you just sat down and read it, you'd be so overwhelmed and think, well, good grief, I can't do that. But it's supposed to be something just to give you an idea to do 1 or 2 or 3 things a week or something like that.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Now, one of the things I've noticed, and I don't only interview authors, but I do speak with a lot of authors, and I've noticed how the Lord has been so intentional about, big surprise, about the books that come out during this season of pandemic. And, of course, that's actually one way we got to this Family Matters series, was realizing, oh, we have families who are forced to be together, who maybe have never been, they've never experienced this much up close and in-person time. What are they going to do? And so it seems to me there's a connection here for your book as well. Would you speak to how your book helps someone during this particular pandemic season?
Well, and I love when God does that. As we know, nothing catches him by surprise. And so I love how he plans things like that for such a time as this. But I do think and most of us, I think, we thoroughly enjoy being good parents, spending time with our children. But I know that there were times when my kids were younger, and even still now, if I'm not deliberately intentional, I can go a whole day. And yes, I provided for my kids' needs, and I taught them their school lessons, and I fed them and clothed them, and I provided for their needs. But sometimes I would look back and think, do we do anything really fun? Do we do anything that we made a memory, or that did I just sit down and just give them undivided attention? And so I hope the book will do that as well. And it does, I hope, gives them some new ideas of ways, rather than just to do, whether you're homeschooling, whether you're distance learning, virtual school, whatever you're doing, you know, at the end of the day, hopefully there's something you can look back on and think, did we make this a fun day? Do we have a good memory for today? And that's why it might be something like, you know, I suggest there's several outdoor activities in there because we need that anyway, but especially now if we're cooped up in the house and isolated, we need to be out. So, you know, go for a walk and take a treasure bag with you. Take a resealable bag because you know how kids are. They always want to collect something, and half the time you don't have the hands for it. And you also think, okay, I don't want to keep up with all this. I mean, I've done that before. I've even washed jackets and then realized I had a washing machine full of rocks, you know.
Oh, of course.
But if we take a resealable bag, then we treat those things as treasures. And those are God's creations, and we should treat them as treasures. So, you know, let the kids collect whatever they want, take them back, display them, talk about them a little bit, put them on the counter, even if it is just rocks and leaves and a flower that's going to wilt. And, you know, enjoy it and make a big deal about it. So I have tried to help come up with some different activities to do since we're spending so much time with the kids, just beyond the usual, you know, get up and get your day accomplished and go back to bed at night.
I survive.
That's exactly right. And I do also want to say, I think I mentioned it in either the front of the book or the back of the book, you know, we have all these great ideas, but at the same time, I also remind parents, there were plenty of days where I felt like all I did was survive. And some of those were when my husband was deployed, and he wasn't deployed too often for extended periods of time, but he was gone a lot for 2 or 3 weeks at a time. And there were days that it was all I could do to survive, and I don't even know that I kept the clothes washed and the dishes clean. So I also want to say to parents, if you do look back and think, you know, we didn't do anything fun and we didn't make a memory, we have to give ourselves grace because we're going to have tough days. And then you just, you know, think, okay, tomorrow's another day, or maybe even the next day's another day when grandma comes to help, you know. So I think we also have to extend ourselves grace and not feel like, and even though I have 365 ways in here, good grief, I hope this book can last parents 2 or 3 or 4 years. You know, there's no way we could do something every single day with everything else we have on our plate. So I think we have to extend ourselves a lot of grace. I know there were days that I didn't do that to myself, and there were plenty of days where I did. I just went to bed with all those dishes on the kitchen, dirty dishes on the counter, and said, those will still be there tomorrow when I get up. So
there you go. I think grace is a great, it's a great principle to remember for any parent in any situation, including giving yourself grace, as you mentioned. So I love that. Now, I was going to ask you, because you have your book and you know your book, to share some of your tips, but you've already kind of done that just as we've gone along. But I would love for you to think of, maybe even without looking in the book, Julie, what could you share, just maybe a couple of your favorite ones, if you haven't already done that with us, just some of the favorite ones, that, and maybe also the category they go with, just so we can kind of get a picture, or listeners can kind of get a picture of how the book flows.
Okay. Let me think a little. I know one of the ones that I enjoy, now remembering where the category might be the harder, this one might be, well, one of these is running errands, I know, because we have, when we go downtown here where I live, it doesn't happen all the time, but we get stopped by train every now and then. And so, you know, rather than get impatient or irritated and look back over my list while I was stuck there, I would make a game to count the cars with the kids, and we talk about the color or whatever, whatever. And then when the train, when it finished going by, I just love puns. And so when the last train would go by, I would deliberately make eye contact with a child and say something really silly and say, I will always choose you to be mine. And then, you know, I'd take my foot off the brake and we'd go on. But so that was running errands. One of the ones we did when my kids were little, and I know we were visiting, and I included this, but we were visiting my mom. I guess my husband was deployed then. And we were outside, so we were enjoying some outside time anyway. But even then, without their dad, and we'd just been stuck there for a little while, they were even getting bored with playing outside. And so I could tell that. Well, I decided we were going to follow the dog around. In fact, I think this one was Zorro. I can't even remember which dog it was. All of a sudden, I started telling the children, I said, Oh, my gosh, I think Zorro is a secret agent. Did you see what he just did? He was sniffing around that bush over there. We followed him around for, I know, 20, 30 minutes, making up stories about what he was investigating and what he was doing. They had the most fun, and we enjoyed that. So that one falls into when you're outside. Follow the pet around and make up stories as the pet is outside.
Funny how the kids will remember and treasure those silly things that are just basically spur of the moment.
And
I have both had that experience where
that's exactly right.
We didn't think it is. It's really the subtitle of your book about turning little moments into lasting memories. But it really is those little moments that make a bigger difference than we realize at the time.
That is exactly right. My youngest, as you remember, is a dancer, and so there were often
your
times
youngest
that,
who was born on my birthday.
Oh, that's exactly right. I should have pointed that out.
Right?
What
and
a
that's
special
the crucial
treat!
Piece of information.
What a special treat for me for sure, and definitely for my daughter. She remembers that every year. So she was a dancer, and I would often have to. She would dance for such long periods of time, and this was at even 8, 9, or 10. She'd just be there for hours, and so occasionally I'd run her by a snack or something, and some water in a disposable cup. And so I started writing notes on there, and it would usually be something silly or just a happy whatever day it was that day, or, you know, just a little note. And she got so used to those that she can't now, even if I just treat her to a drink, and as you know, she's 22 now, she wants a note written on this. So
created a monster there, Julie.
I did create a monster. I think that does fall into writing love notes. But so she likes that, and then some of my other children, so I've added it as well. We would pick dandelions when we were outside, but rather than make a wish and blow, I would have to make a wish for my daughter. She would make a wish for me. Then we would blink at each other three times for I love you, and then we would blow away the seeds. So let's see. We couldn't do this in some places we live because our houses were close together, but like when either my husband and I would run errands, when somebody would leave or get back, we would blow the horn three times, and that was to signify I love you, as like a little goodbye.
I think I read that one this morning when I was looking at your book again.
We couldn't do that too often because base housing, the houses were so close together, I wouldn't dare do that to too
many
people.
You might
have
had angry neighbors.
That's exactly right. And then there's a whole section on serving others. You know, I try to do things, and not even to pat myself on the back, but I did try to make sure I did it in front of the children. But like if you're standing in the grocery line, you know, I tried to allow someone to go ahead of me in the line, and then I would make sure I reminded them of this verse. You know, I'd say about the verse in 1 Corinthians that says, do everything in love. Mm-hmm. And so I tried to let them see that. We would often pray. It was so funny because we enjoyed praying for different things. And you're such a prayer warrior, but we, like if we were in the car and we saw first responder lights, then we would pray for not only the patient that might be inside the ambulance, but we'd also pray for the ambulance driver or whatever. And so we did that a lot as they were children. We drifted away from it a little bit as they got older, but one time when they were older and I only had one or two in the car, I remember I was stopped at a red light and I just started laughing, and one of them said, "What are you laughing at?" And I said, "Well, I just prayed for that mail carrier up there because all I could see was the lights, and I really thought it was an ambulance, but the mail carrier has been prayed for now." So,
sure that mail carrier needed prayer as well.
Must have needed prayer that day. Must have been behind in his route.
Exactly.
So those are some ones that have popped into my head.
Those are great. Now, I mentioned that I mentioned you, and I am too. We are both grandmothers of one lovely
boy.
Grandson apiece.
Yes. Both of us have a boy.
Yes, we do. And how would you say this book would be helpful for grandparents, Julie? Is there anything different about the way a grandparent might use this book compared to a parent?
Let me think. I don't know if it would necessarily be any different. I think probably the same way. In fact, you know, us grandparents, sometimes we could squeeze in more than one a day because, you know, we have that added blessing that, you know, if we're watching a grandchild, playing with a grandchild, hanging out, we might not have on our mind getting the dishes done or what we're going to cook for dinner or something like that. And I think as grandparents, occasionally we can be a little bit more intentional. And so especially, but at the same time, we may have also forgotten some of those things that we used to do with our own children. And so I hope it will, I do hope it will refresh my memory, our memories as grandparents, and give us some new ideas. And maybe we were busy parents and didn't think of some of these when we were younger, younger parents. And hopefully it will spark some ideas and get grandparents to be just really super involved with the kids and make those memories. I think it's easy to make those treasured memories as grandparents because sometimes our time's a little bit shorter, so we're a little bit more intentional. As you know, mine lives in Chattanooga, lives far away from me. So when I am with Benaiah, we spend a lot of quality one-on-one time together. But I do want it to be special more than just, oh, we played in his toy room and played with his toys. I want it to be something unique that he and I can share together.
Mhm. I love that. Oh, that's a great word, Julie. Now, what about, and you've mentioned this parent probably a couple times in this conversation, what about that parent who just feels overwhelmed? It's all they can do to get through the day. What word do you have for them right now as far as how can they love their child, or maybe how could your book help them love their child in the best ways?
Well, again, I think what I would hope that the book would do is to express to them when they're buried under diapers, formula, nursing a baby, a busy spouse at work, or also have a job outside the home for them. I hope what it will instill is it doesn't have to be huge chunks of time. It can be, and that'll be great, but it doesn't have to be huge chunks of time, and it doesn't have to be, you know, monumental to be momentous. It can be the trips to the mailbox that might only take 2 minutes out of your day. That might be the only spare time you have during the day to even give to the kids. But, you know, walking back and forth to the mailbox and going a different direct way each time, letting the child pick, okay, how are we going to get to the mailbox today? And so I think the biggest thing is just a snippet of time. If it's intentional and the child gets that undivided attention, even for that short amount of time, it can really instill a memory that's not going to be forgotten. It's going to be treasured. And I think there are so many days, whether, you know, we're a full-time single parent, because our husband works a lot of hours or is deployed with the military, or two busy working parents, TWO, busy working parents, just a snippet of time. And sometimes in the evenings, after a busy homeschooling day and I was trying to catch up on the dishes, then I let the girls stand in a chair next to me and play in the bubbles on one side of the sink while I was trying to clean up the dishes in the other. And we were able to talk and play. And yes, it took me longer to get the dishes done, but I got them done, and they have that memory. In fact, the only earthquake we all experienced that we remember, we were living in Washington State, and the two girls were standing in a chair playing in the bubbles. The boys were somewhere else, and I had just walked away, I think, to check on the clothes in the washing machine. And they remember. They remember distinctly that they were standing there playing in the bubbles and that we had been there working on dishes together before that. So I think that's my point. It doesn't have to be an hour-long board game for it to create an adventure. Now, my children love those too, but it doesn't have to be that to be adventurous and memorable.
Yes, and it doesn't have to be the huge vacation or the blowout birthday party or any of those things, even though in the right time, in the right place, those things are perfectly fine. But it can also be a much smaller. I think a key word that I've heard you say several times is being intentional. And I know when I think back over my years of parenting, there are definitely times I could have been more intentional with what I did. And that's one of my prayers as a grandparent, is that I will be intentional with the time I give Lincoln. And yes, go with the flow of the Holy Spirit, but also intentionally build certain things into him. As you said, not just hang out in the toy room, but spend quality time, even if it is a snippet of time, as you said. I want to be intentional with one more thing, Julie, and that's asking you, because our time is really drawing to a close quickly, as I knew it would. Would you be willing to take time to pray for our listeners? I just know that in this book and in your life, you have such a heart for parents and for their connections with family, and I'd love to have you take them to the Lord in prayer.
I would enjoy that very much. Thank you, Marty. Dear God, we just thank you so much for the gift that children are in our lives, whether that's our own children, whether that's grandchildren, whether that's nieces and nephews, foster children, ones we work with in the church. God, children are a gift, and we thank you so much for them. We know that they come from you, and we thank you for that, and we praise you for that. God, I pray for parents and child caregivers all over this world. God, it's a tough time right now. It's a tough time to be a parent and a child guardian under normal circumstances. It's just a demanding role, and we want that response. We want to do our best with that responsibility. And so, God, it's just a demanding role, even in a good circumstances. And, God, we just pray now during these troubled times, Lord, that first and foremost, we turn to you with everything about our parenting, that we dedicate that to you with each and every moment. And, God, well, I just pray that you will just bless these little children, bless the parents that are caring for them and the grandparents and others. God, give them your wisdom. Give them your love. Let these little moments, whether it's picking dandelions, skipping rocks across the water, or going on a huge vacation, whatever those moments are, let love that this parent or this guardian shows, let that, God, ultimately be a reflection of you, because that's the whole purpose in this, God, is just to give them a glimpse of the unfathomable love that is just hard to comprehend, Lord, of your love, God. Just let that be a glimpse of that. And, God, we pray that we will be intentional, and we will make those moments and those treasured memories, and we will be able to create those that are going to make a child feel loved and valued and special, a sense of belonging, give them a sense of purpose in that family. But at the same time, God, as we've talked about, God, there's going to be days where it's going to be tough to add those extras. There will be no time for extras. Help us to give ourselves the grace and mercy at that point to realize tomorrow's another day. We can make a memory another day. God, we just thank you for this time that we can come together and share all these things. And I do pray for parents and children all over this world, Lord, because it's just tough times right now. Help us to hang on to you and to know that you are our Heavenly Father who loves us more than we can ever imagine, and help us to share that love with our kids. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Julie, thank you again. I just appreciate your friendship, of course, but I especially appreciate the wisdom that you share in your book, which again is 365 Ways to Love Your Child. And I'm sure that's available wherever good books are sold. And you can also find Julie at julielavenderwrites.com. And that's pretty much spelled just like it sounds, the color lavender. She has a wonderful last name that I've always been jealous of. Anyway, Julie, thank you so much again. And listeners, we want to thank you, too. We never take your time for granted. So thank you for joining us today. And be sure to watch for more episodes in the Family Matters series on Charisma News.